Well, good to see you all this morning. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it. Jay's speaking this morning, so he's not going to be joining us. Sarah Marie is out on PTO this weekend. So largely you get me. Melissa's here, but I haven't asked her to present anything. Melissa, do you have any key announcements you want to try and cover that I should budget some time for?
No key announcements. Okay. We're moving ahead to VBS, and it's starting next week, so it's really exciting.
Yeah, and don't forget to pick up your materials, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, this weekend.
That was my self-reminder last night. I was like, honey, we got to find a way to get this. Well, let me pray and we'll get us started. Father, I just appreciate this morning. I appreciate the opportunity for us to be together. You've given us all spheres of influence and relationships, all that really matter and that matter for both our well-being and for the sake of people drawing closer to you. Pray that you would bless us in the work that we do and the ways that we lead, speak, model. I think most of us are pretty cognizant of the fact that we have more growing to do in terms of becoming like you, and we ask you, God, that you would draw us into that space more and more, that we might glorify you with the way we lead our lives. Pray you bless this morning. Pray for Sarah Marie. She'd have a great weekend off. Pray for Jay as he speaks this morning, and in the worship team and the tech team, that you would just bless them. Communicate your words to us this morning as a community, and pray all this in your name. Amen. So we don't have a ton of things to cover this morning, but you can always be mystified by how long those things can take. Rick and I have had about 6 years worth of joking about thinking we're going to end a board meeting early and never actually having it happen. So I'd like to cover primarily two things this morning. One is I wanted to walk through the survey results that we've gotten back from the church so far, and then ask you guys about how your group conversations are going, if you've begun to have more, if you've begun to shift into in-person group meetings. And then the other aspect is I wanted to give some time for each of you to process how things are going for you or with your group in terms of processing the injustice that we're seeing in the media and experiencing in our local communities. So without further ado, let me go ahead and screen share here the survey. You guys see this okay?
Yep.
I'm just repositioning all my screens here. Okay. Stop me if there's anything you wanted to ask about or look at more in detail. We got 212 responses on the survey, which is quite a strong response. Just for comparison's sake, the number of people that we have in groups across the board in terms of city and campus right now is about 450 or so, with about 330 people that have actually attended a group in the last like 60 days. So this is a pretty good chunk of the church that responded on the survey. Interesting on the first question about the kind of half and half break in terms of the church demographic, in terms of at least of the responses, is about half of the church has been here less than 4 years and the other half for more. Whatever that's worth. The age of the respondents is fairly young, which just matches the demographic of our church across the board. By the time we get to 40, we don't have quite as many people responding. So keep that in mind. The respondents on the survey on the average are on the younger side. It's about split pretty close to half and half in terms of city and campus. This yellow section here is really both. We have a fair number of staff who kind of are in groups on both sides. And students, actually, we're seeing that more and more now with graduates who are staying involved in their campus spaces and then becoming a part of a city home group for their own personal growth. So question four starts to get into the kind of core questions. When our local government lifts its restrictions on or guidance against increased size public gatherings, which best describes your attitude toward returning to an in-person Sunday service at our building? We've got a pretty good chunk, a little over 25%, that will return at the first opportunity. Others that would return with some concerns and precautions, that is about 64% or so of the church that is pretty ready to come back. And then, you know, another good chunk that is willing to wait, might attend after several weeks. So the weight of the church at this stage in the game is towards gathering again in person, even if there's some precautions involved. Question five, we asked about what triggers would be necessary for people to want to come back to the service. And a number of these have been met, even though the state guidelines haven't generally opened up for in-person gatherings inside for the size of our church yet. But here we have local businesses open again. Local restaurants are starting to seat. Schools are open, which of course is not the case. Number of COVID cases near me is very small is how that finishes out. So that's pretty subjective, obviously. And everybody's kind of keeping an eye on what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. Social distancing recommendations are being done, essentially, and then none of those things. What precautions? Face masks, shaking hands. We won't probably cover too much of that. Most of our proposals in terms of reopening have all of these involved. Again, additional precautions. This is for what our church would take. These questions are pretty similar. When our local government lifts its restrictions on our guidance against increased size public gatherings, phase five, which of the following describes the attendance level which you'd be comfortable attending an in-person Sunday service? And at what capacity, essentially? And so we've got a chunk of folks who are totally fine with the full service. Three quarters filled is probably closer to what a normal full service would look like for us anyway. Half filled isn't just too much less than that. And then we've got people that are more comfortable with a quarter fill. If we are looking at social distancing and spacing out 6 feet, I think the numbers that we're looking at are much more in this green territory in terms of how many people can actually fit in the auditorium with all the work that we've done in terms of marking out spaces and trying to maximize the space that's available. Question nine, when our local government lifts its restrictions on our guidance against increased size public gatherings, phase five, which of the following would you prefer for our church? And we've got 28% that would prefer to resume in-person worship services immediately. And then another almost 40% that would prefer to meet in small groups and homes for a little while before they come back to the services. And then a quite portion of the church, at least at the time of the survey, is not sure. 10 is interesting. We asked people how flexible they would be on service times, and a huge chunk of the church said they'd be pretty flexible on what service they attend, which is good. I mean, one of the options that we're considering is if we can only fit a certain number of people in the auditorium, what's the fair way we assess who can be there? And a lot of that has to do with, you know, saying here are the available Sundays I can do and somebody filling out a roster and trying to do that as fairly as possible. So right now it's the sanitization between services aspect is still something that's beyond our ability to pull off. And so we're still only really looking at one service on the Sunday if we return at this point. We have considered outdoor, we have considered midweek, those things are all still on the table. You can see in this next one that most of the respondents, only a quarter, actually have children. The next question is on children's ministry, which I won't get into at this point because that's a complexity where we know we're not going to be starting with. And then Melissa, I'll throw in for this, sent a survey out to the children's ministry, right? That's right, or we're planning to send it out.
We have a survey. We have not sent it out yet. Okay, we're saving it for when we're a little bit closer to reopening New Life Kids, which will likely be towards the fall, so probably late August, early September.
Okay. So forgive me. Chelsea sent one out. Yeah.
Yeah, we did send one out for the high school ministry, and are collecting responses from the parents between now and this upcoming Friday.
So keep an eye out for as we get closer to the fall for that children's ministry specific survey. I think that's going to be pretty important in terms of the particulars for how we run things. Public schools, local schools, the skill sets that they bring to the table in terms of reopening, I think is going to be pretty informative for us too. So again, stop me if you guys have any questions. I'll open the floor for that afterwards too. 12, when our local government lifts its restrictions on our guidance against small gatherings, phase four, which best describes your attitude toward returning to in-person home groups and discipleship groups? So this is a stronger yes response here, essentially, than the service itself. Almost 35% will return to the first opportunity. Another 35, 36% will return to the first opportunity with some cautions and concerns. So 70% or so, I'm doing my math right, are ready from a home group standpoint to return. But at the same time, you've got a chunk that almost 1 in 10 are not thinking they'll come back anytime soon. So I think that's significant in these conversations. Question 13, when in Michigan Safe Start Plan Phase 4, small gatherings allowed, if home groups, D groups are offered both in person and online, which you prefer? And so we have, again, almost 60% would prefer to meet in person at this point. And this survey was a couple weeks ago. My sense, even conversationally, is that people are moving toward blue as time progresses. I don't know what the next phase of COVID increased case numbers, if that hits Michigan, will do to that. But I think the spring effect, the relational spring effect, is moving people toward wanting to be together again more. This asks all the various cities that people are going to be in the summer. How often have you watched our Sunday live stream service online during the quarantine? This is interesting. So almost 40% of the survey respondents are watching the service every week. Another 25% almost every week. That's a pretty good chunk of people that are participating online. A few times, 19%, only once that I've not watched the service. So this is interesting because we've got, 13, 18% almost of people that are participating in this survey are reading bulletins, apparently, and took the time to fill this out, but are not at all participating in our Sunday morning service, which is instructive for us as an EMT, because if we're trying to think through how do we communicate to our congregation and who is our congregation in a church without membership, it's an important component. The same question asked about home groups and D groups. This is stronger. We've got, 47% almost that are every week, and almost 30% that are every other week, or almost every week. And then the few times number is less. This, though, is still almost a significant percentage. So 12% or so have not attended a home group or not part of a home group. And so, again, we have a chunk of people here that are not involved with much. And maybe there's a flip here. So you've got some of these people are involved in the service itself. So I don't know what to make of that. It's interesting. I wanted to share this one last with you. How has COVID-19 impacted your life? We've had 5 people in the church that have had COVID, all been hospitalized for it and all recovered, thankfully. 80 people said that they know someone who had COVID-19. We had another 17 who know someone who died from it. This is almost 9% of the church, or the respondents at least, which means that chances are pretty good. And in an average home group, someone's lost somebody that they know. Almost 22% lost their job or income as a result of that, which is obviously very significant. Almost 70% know somebody who's had that experience. And then 33% said their mental health has declined during the pandemic. And another 51% said they felt isolated and lonely. So I think these are just very real factors to know. We know it from the media at large that these are considerations in the country, but I think it's nice to have stats with the local church saying this is the reality for our local situation as well. So these numbers were, I think, surprising to our staff as we were looking at this, just to see the amount of local impact that we're experiencing here in our local church. And then the comments at the end. So any initial thoughts, questions you guys have on that?
Joel, are we planning, I know that, you said 450 or whatever. Are we planning on sending out another, we're not planning on sending another survey out, right? Like as far as, hey, if you forgot to fill the survey out, kind of thing.
This one is still open. But no, I don't think we have, I've not heard any specific plans to push it more, or okay. I mean, we wouldn't mind another 100 responses. That's totally fine. But I feel like the data set is, given our population, yeah, is pretty strong.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Joel, do you have any idea how many of those people like maybe went home during COVID? And so their responses of not being involved with New Life Church or D groups might be that they're being involved with their home churches or groups.
Largely it was our student population that did most of the moving. Not a lot of movement from a city perspective. In the city, anecdotally, I hear stories of people maybe hanging out with mom and dad for a little while or going up north to be in the, you know, the cabin that's a little bit more in the woods, but it's really the students that have shifted population wise. And they largely stayed involved in groups when they went. So they moved physical locations, but stayed involved in groups. And if you guys remember from the home group visits, our group attendance has been up during COVID-19. So we actually had more engagement on the home group, discipleship group side than we had before. So, and we also had a surprising number of people that were going to be here this summer, according to the survey responses. A lot of people. We asked that question about what's your physical location going to be this summer, and there were a lot of Ann Arbor and surrounding area circles, much more than we anticipated for our whole group size. I mean, I can't answer specifically for specific people, but that was the trend, as we were surprised by how many people are going to be physically present, and we've seen a lot of people stay engaged remotely.
I wouldn't be shocked if you were to rerun the survey now if numbers wouldn't be higher with people's comfort level at returning, just from the standpoint that I think in general, people are getting more comfortable with getting back to life, you know, going to the dentist and going to various other organizations that I think 2-3 weeks ago, people felt like, I'm going to wait and see what happens. And the COVID numbers in Washtenaw County are extremely low right now. So I wouldn't be somewhat surprised if the numbers all shift in the attend direction at this stage.
Yeah, that's my leaning too. I wanted to conduct a quick unofficial poll with you guys. If you filled out the survey, you know, however long it was, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, are you in a spot where you're more likely to attend things at this point than you were then? I mean, that's me. Yeah. I'm sorry to, if your video is not on, you don't have to, I'm not forcing you into a video on scenario. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's my reactions sense. You can do. Yeah.
That's my sense too, Stevie, is Dr. Gray, sorry, is that people are more likely to return at this stage in the game. I don't know what it would be if we're like in an Arizona scenario or something along those lines where the COVID cases seem to be spiking, but that's not the case here locally presently. Any other questions? One question I did want to ask you is how are the conversations going with your groups? Have you engaged them in terms of returning to in-person gatherings and what that could look like? Some of you I know have already met in person again and would love to hear how that's going, if you're willing to share that experience.
Yeah, my group has, we've started attending in person basically as soon as we were able to. None of my guys were concerned. I suppose, disclaimer, I don't have any guys that have kids or are in the like high risk category. The closest one is Mike Cha, and so he's still relatively in the low risk category from an age group standpoint. And we really enjoyed getting back together in person. It's been really, I think, good for the mental health for a lot of the guys, and they've been staying a lot longer afterwards to just hang out. So it's been really good from our standpoint.
Yeah, I read another person's group report, and they said they were surprised when they looked at the clock at the end of the group, and it was about three and a half hours or so. Yeah. Any other thoughts or experiences in terms of how the conversations are going or how meeting in person is going for you if you're trying it?
I can chime in. Our group is doing some families have met together. I don't think we've had an entire group meet yet. One thing we're talking about is having the women meet only maybe for a Sunday service to experience that together and maybe do a little group.
That's something I'm thinking through.
BC, I think we're losing your audio. It's... It started off fine, but it's definitely not now.
Okay.
That, there you go. Oh, that last second.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. I said our group, there are a few families that have met together, just unofficially, I guess, not really for group. And then we are also talking as a whole group on how to maybe have the guys meet alone and then the girls meet. Can you hear me still or no?
Yeah. Yep. So good.
Great. Okay. So for example, on a Sunday morning, I think today, actually, some of the women are getting together for the Sunday service and hang out a little bit after that. And then we might do that with the men as well. Just a way to combine the service and getting together. So I think we're starting to figure out how to meet together as a group.
Anyone else? I'm wondering particularly if you have, which groups have engaged the conversation, at least begun that process.
My group had a conversation about people's comfortableness with meeting again. And we do have someone with a small kid that, and they had some concerns, not major, but what we ended up on was deciding to meet in public spaces. We're gonna start that next week. So we looked into some local parks. That might be nice to attend, especially while the weather is still beautiful, you know, get outside as well. That's what we're going to be trying for the next couple times, I think.
Great.
Joe, this is Rick.
Morning. Can you hear me? Yep.
Morning. We talked a couple weeks ago about it. I think the challenge for us is we have a lot of young children, so social distancing is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. And then I talked about doing the men and women breakdown, but there was a good amount of people who appreciated being together. So I think, and this was a couple weeks ago, I think we're going to continue on Zoom, and we might do some things outside of that. I mean, we meet every week on Thursday now, but we'll probably do outside things to connect with one another personally through this month and then reevaluate in for July.
Yeah, that's good. I'd love to communicate. It's perfectly fine to continue to meet online. The spirit of what we're looking for here is to try and figure out what's a loving space to step into with your group. If you've got a six-person group and everybody's like, yeah, I want to meet in person, then by all means, shift into that space. But if it's not functioning, or if you've got a chunk, it's just a complex set of discussions. And as you saw from the survey results, we have, you know, typically at least one quarter for each of those key questions that are really wrestling with, coming back in person in some way, shape, or form. I think we need to take that in consideration in terms of what it looks like to love each other well.
I anticipate talking about it today. 2 weeks ago, we spent majority of our time talking about the, you know, national issues over racial injustice and things of that nature. So honestly, I think that took the gross majority of our time. But I can imagine our group may still have a level of being split. So I'm curious to hear people's thoughts on, you know, what does that do? And I think it'll probably be fine, but what does that do if, you know, again, half or two thirds of the group want to meet? I would somewhat envision maybe we will do non-shared meals at this point, maybe in an outdoor setting, you know, given the weather's good. But I'm curious how that might have other people feel in the group. If they're not able to attend, and I don't know that zooming them in is feasible. We did have a men's group for Simeon and Zeke, kind of honoring them as graduates, just on a campfire in our backyard, even though, you know, everybody was masked and it was a little awkward. It was fantastic being together again. So, I'm personally looking forward to seeing people again. But I don't know where the rest of our group's at on that.
Yep. Our group is not dissimilar from that one, Steve. We're our actual formal home group is still happening online, but there's a couple people that are ready to be back in person again. So Rose and I, in terms of our personal relationships, are meeting with those people where their comfort zones are at. But the whole group isn't there yet. It's even more complicated when someone tests positive for COVID-19, right? So you've got to, that's going to stretch things out quite a bit longer in some cases. Any other thoughts or questions on this topic? From a city staff perspective, I'm available. You don't have to just ask the questions here. If you come up with one on a Tuesday, I'm open to having that conversation. But just want to make sure we're supporting you guys well. I think this is one of the more complicated, challenging conversations to navigate that we've had in a while.
I am curious, you know, what the thought or sense, maybe to your point, Joel, if certain family members can't attend, then, you know, how do we best take care of folks, you know, if they're essentially not meeting with group, especially if that happens, you know, one meeting, two meetings, that ends up being a month, month and a half. I don't know, that dynamic feels a little challenging, having some parts of the group not involved. Mm-hmm. Is it better just to stay involved on Zoom, you know, for the sake, and maybe try and do men's groups and women's groups in person? I don't know. That's the tension I think I fall in right now.
Yeah.
It may be a while before some families are comfortable meeting together. And I don't know. I don't know if that's healthy to kind of leave them out, so to speak, for a month or 2 months.
I think there's two factors that I'm considering when I think about the balance of those things. One is the human dignity of asking people directly what they want. If a person is totally in favor of the group meeting in person, they just themselves don't feel comfortable going, that's different than someone who's in a position where they really want to be a part of something, but they just can't. So the other piece is we do have the ability right now to still stay in touch with people from an online perspective. And so maybe supporting a particular individual or family looks about the same as it does right now for that extended period. Whereas for a chunk of the crew, it could look a little bit different in the next couple of months as in-person gatherings become more feasible. So I think the human dignity of asking people, what do you want? What would you hope to have happen? I'd rather not leave people out. I mean, I want to find a solution that involves everybody, ideally. Just think that represents the church well.
I can speak up a little bit here. I went on a bike ride with a couple friends yesterday that aren't a member of New Life Ann Arbor. And we chatted briefly about this, and it was really helpful for me to hear that those who are not comfortable meeting, the way that they're loving and caring for those families, because those families are feeling a little more isolated and whatnot, is by having the families that are comfortable meeting, dropping off gift bags at their houses and whatnot. Just essentially to say, hey, we're not seeing you in person, but we still want to be engaged with you and your family. And I really like that solution. I just feel like, wow, what a way to communicate love in a unique way, in a unique season, when there is this divide of who's willing to get together physically and who's not willing to get together physically. And so that just started helping me think like, okay, how could, because that is the case for our home group, as Steve said. How can we continue to minister to those families who are not ready to get together? Because I'm going to be ministered to as someone who is willing to get ready, or who's already been getting together with friends. That's been huge for me, just extremely encouraging as I've gotten together with Steve or Drew or others in our group already. So I just wonder if there's ways that we can encourage our groups to think a little outside of the box of how can we support one another through this, through acts of love, acts of kindness like that.
Yep. It's good. It's good, Kevin. Thank you.
One positive on the women's side, we haven't gotten really into the conversation that we need to, but one positive thing that we did talk about is continuing through the summer. A lot of times we have taken a break in the summer and people are not around and it just kind of makes sense. And on the positive side, most people will be around and we are going to continue on all throughout the summer. We did talk about that. So yeah. Just throwing out one little win.
Encouraging.
That is good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating how this has changed people's meeting frequencies. And in some cases it goes both directions, sometimes more, sometimes less. But there's a lot more people around than there would normally be.
I appreciate that, Kristen. I totally forgot that by this point in time, we're actually not meeting at all on both a home group and a discipleship group level. And yeah, we definitely haven't stopped. So,
I mean, the survey indicating the loneliness factor is just over 50%. I mean, that there's a high risk that a person who's in that position of stronger isolation is already feeling that loneliness factor. To be left out of the one community that they do have access to just feels like a risk. So there is potential to try to shift people's groups around in a way that works for them. The trick on that, though, is the DNA of our community, as far as I can ascertain it, is not a group switching kind of a community. It's more like these are the people you're with. So I'm certainly willing to try and help place people in a group setting that's going to work for them. But I do really want to be cautious about leaving anyone out on principle, and at the same time, given the risk factor of how strong that loneliness and that need for community is right now, it's even more critical probably. So I'd love to...
One suggestion and something we've talked about in our group that we probably will do is just every other time or something like that, where if we met in group, you know, together 1 week, still have a Zoom time at least once a month.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
everyone is meeting over Zoom, so that at least you're connecting with people that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, doing like a hybrid approach. And yeah, and even, you know, another possibility is also during those large group time or those times that you do get together, still having that Zoom option. I know that that person's not physically here, but I think that they could continue to still feel included. And if they would like to join, you know, but BCI, I do like the you know, like the every other. I think that's a good hybrid. But yeah, so.
Well, thanks very much for your thoughts on that. I appreciate it. I am willing and able to be a part of those conversations, especially if they are particularly difficult for your group. Sarah Marie feels the same way, just while she's not on PTO. So let's transition. I wanted to ask how you guys are experiencing, what kind of conversations might be taking place in your group spaces, or even for you individually. What's it been like to process the racial injustice that we're seeing at a heightened level here in our community and in our country in the last 3 weeks or so? And I don't know, for some of
you, can you repeat the question? My audio was crackling.
Yeah, I was wondering what it's been like for you as an individual, or what you're seeing in terms of your group conversations, how people are processing the racial injustice that's been heightened in the last 3 weeks in the media, at least, and in some cases, the local community. And maybe for some of you who were at the protest yesterday, if you're willing to share what that experience is like for you.
So we got about.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Steve.
See, I mean, our group obviously expressed a great level of sadness. Several families in our home group are involved, I think, in this discussion more than just, you know, when it kind of peaks on national level. They're a little more engaged all the time, and I think there's a sense of just wanting to do something in a lasting way and something sustainable versus a one-time pop or kind of getting upset for a short period of time and then until it disappears out of the news again. So there's a piece there. We haven't really discussed, you know, do anything together collectively, but definitely a great deal of sadness shared, you know, for many families on a personal family basis, individual basis. I don't know. I'm excited. You know, as BC knows, we have some thoughts in play about what we may do through our work. But for me, it's mostly this sense of like, you know, what do we do beyond sadness, you know, and beyond awareness? What can we do? You know, and the rally was awesome yesterday. We brought our kids, tried to debrief with them, went out to dinner last night, debriefed them a little bit. And, even I think for Em and I think it was powerful. It was powerful just to be a part of that, to be a part of a, because it had a faith community bent. I haven't been to a non-faith community rally. There's one on the Diag, I think, this week. May try and attend that as well. But I think it was particularly special hearing prayer, feeling collected together in prayer, being around brothers and sisters in Christ who, you know, want to see change. It was great. Really enjoyed it. The 8 minute, 40 second of silence was powerful. I think that was very powerful for me. It's a long time. It's a long time to have to be brutalized. It's very sad.
Thanks for sharing, Steve. Nate?
Before I jump in, what was the rally like? I didn't hear about this. So like, could you explain kind of what it actually was or what was going on?
There was a faith leaders rally that took place yesterday afternoon. We had gotten invited to from the group. The organizer of the event reached out to us directly. Actually, I got invited through one of the other speakers of the event as well. And so it was a gathering for communities of faith. And so they had about 10 different speakers, largely pastors at local churches. Trishay Duckworth, who's one of the community organizers for a lot of the other rallies that have taken place, spoke. Congresswoman Dingell, am I getting that right? Yeah. And so about an hour and a half of speakers, and then we did a march from Ipsy High School down the streets of Packard and Hewitt and Washtenaw with police escorts, and then knelt or something from that symbolic standpoint at the corner of Washtenaw and Gulfside for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and then marched back. So that was yesterday. I am going to tell you guys about an event that's coming up here shortly. I'll get into that in a little bit. So yeah, that was just I think the co-founders essentially were Pastor Jason Robinson at Reach Church in Ipsy and Hope Clinic, and then got their networks of friends and churches involved. And I don't know what the crowd was, maybe 500 or so, based on my rough estimate. I haven't looked in the news to see if there's counts or anything like that from today, but it was a good sized group. It was the first time I ever walked down Washtenaw myself.
It was a big group. Felt like a lot of people, for sure.
Yeah.
There was a girl who was walking out of Ipsy High School. She said she was there for a Zumba class, so not for the event at all. She just asked me, because I was there, and I said hi to her as she was walking by. What is this? And so I explained it to her a little bit, and this is awesome. This is so cool that churches are doing this. So I thought that was pretty cool. So personally, it's been a hard couple of weeks. It's been challenging. It's been sad, infuriating, hard. I've been trying to pray a lot and look for ways to get involved and ways to try to invite others to get involved. So it just feels unrelenting. It just feels like, I mean, just last night there was another big event in Atlanta with Rayshard Brooks. I believe is the guy's name. Who died in police event. And so there's protests going on there. And so, yeah, just feels crazy. But I'm excited to see our church get involved as well.
I can share a little. I've felt a little disconnected from it. And that's probably more by personal choice of my, you know, I'm not really on social media. And I haven't looked at the news much this week because I had such a busy work week last week. I've been catching up a ton. And so late Thursday, I went to the church and was chainsawing and whatnot. And I didn't even know it, but there was a rally marching down Washtenaw. And that was my opportunity. I felt like the Lord, I heard the Holy Spirit saying, just set your saw down and sit and listen. And they stopped right at the rock. I mean, like right there in front of me. And so I just sat and listened and was praying. And I think I really connected deeply with the, like, I felt their anger. And in a way that I haven't felt before. Because I think it was just a good opportunity for me to try and put myself, like, step out of my shoes and try and step into somebody else's shoes. And as a result of that, we as a family yesterday watched the Hate U Give. And I think that that was really good for our family to set a stage for talking through some of this stuff. And, you know, I don't know necessarily, we don't have any like next steps right now, but it was a good beginning on a personal level for us as a family to engage. Cause originally I couldn't go. We actually then were intending on going yesterday, and then it didn't work out with some other things that came up for our family. So we've just been looking for ways to engage in it. And I think that's what I would do with other families is if you can't make some of these things, like just look for ways. It's as easy as going to any Amazon Prime or Netflix. And there's plenty of things to sit down and help you engage with this and see what God does in your heart about that.
Can you hear me okay? I have to ask.
Yeah, that's good.
Good. Yeah. It's been hard. It's been hard. And so I have a lot of different aspects of how I'm related to this, definitely personally, for me and obviously for our kids. I think Nellie and I have already been thinking through and being very aware of racial tensions, and we've always found a way to just keep our family safe, honestly. So in the way we travel and the way we've avoided, and I lived in Alpena, I've lived in different environments where I've figured out how to keep myself and my family safe. So I have that ability to do that. Many people don't. So, but it's still sad that I have to do that, obviously. So personally, I think I'm still processing that a little bit, and I've had conversations with my family, and I think my brother was the most frustrated. He currently lives in Ghana, but he lived in New York, he lived in Indiana, and just shared a lot of frustration. We're still having conversations there. I'll say I'm still processing it personally, both with my family and even praying and thinking about it on my end. As far as work goes, I think working with Steve and one of our other doctors has been pretty moved by it. And it's been good to talk to her and figure out what is our role in all this with our employees, and how do we show that we have a culture and environment where people can feel safe, whether it's because of race or really any other reason, and just that there's a safe place for them to work. So, and then we had a D group where we talked through, I think we spent a lot of the time talking through this. We had a family who, or one of the guys in the group where he felt like there was tension in his marriage because of this situation. So we talked through that. So it's been, I think it's consumed a little bit of time for me, just in leadership positions, but also personally. But generally speaking, I would say I am hopeful. I'm hopeful that things can change, but at the same time, Steve and I have talked a lot. I'm more looking at what is my role in helping sustainable change and impact. I think that's where I'm trying to lean into.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, BC. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Jean, did you want to share too? I wasn't sure.
For sure. Yeah.
I didn't mean put you in the spot. I wasn't sure. Looked like you might.
I know. I'm always like, oh, is there a moment when the kids are asking me for something? A week ago, Stephen encouraged our family to join a local, like within our few neighborhoods, march, walk, protest, whatever you call it. And it seemed more safe in the sense that it was supposed to be focused on children being able to attend something like this as a family. So we went, and our signs were more Just focused on like you're created in God's image, or be kind, and using like verses as a reference point, because we just wanted to share a bit about, you know, our perspective is who God, you know, views you as. We were probably like the only ones with a sign that was similar in that vein, as just where our community is, where we live is a lot different. And it was okay. I think it was interesting for me personally to experience something like that. The last and only time I'd ever done a protest was actually at City Hall for our church building a long time ago. For any of you guys that remember that sit-in we did. And that felt way safer because we were just sitting on a lawn and it was almost vigil-like, really. We didn't do much. We just sat there. But this time, there were a lot of really angry protesters in this group, some with family, some with not. I wouldn't say any of the children did anything that was alarming, but at one point, and then they chose to kind of, what they laid out and where they were going to go was a certain distance and then turn back, all within our neighborhood, but instead they chose to go down Packard and Eisenhower there, and just a lot more visible and a lot bigger. So it got bigger and a lot more people drew attention. And then a lot of chanting and yelling and screaming. And then different people immodestly dressed started to do different things. So at that point I got very uncomfortable and I asked Steve if like our family could just exit. So we did. So I don't know. I felt like it was a mixed bag of, yes, we engaged. We engaged in a way that I was comfortable-ish, but then I got very uncomfortable because of the actions of the protesters, especially when it was closed. Okay. So anyway, I don't know how to process it and summarize what happened, but it was there. We did it, but it wasn't great. And it wasn't also like laid out, I don't know, from a planner's perspective, I wish the planners just stuck with what they said they were going to do and it being a peaceful children's march. But it wasn't like unpeaceful in that there was rioting, nothing like that, but just who was speaking, how they were speaking and what they were doing kind of, I don't know, made it feel like for me, it went south.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like the tone was definitely different than a school auditorium scenario. Right. Thanks for sharing, everyone. I appreciate it. This has been heavy on my heart too in the last couple weeks. I've been asking God for me personally, Lord, what do you want me to, how do you want me to change and what do you want me to do and be engaged in? And I feel like he's been directing me towards relationships, new relationships, really trying to make new friends and listen well in those spaces. I was in a call with several faith leaders and the county administrators a couple weeks ago, shortly after or the local incident in Nipsey took place. And we were brainstorming in that call what it could look like to bring some unity to the community in a time like this. And one of the pastors had recommended a prayer walk or a prayer vigil. And so three of us stayed on the call afterwards and began to meet in person to start to talk about this. Myself, one black pastor, one white pastor. And we've met several times. We were all at the black pastors, Roger Green over at New Hope. He spoke at the rally yesterday in the middle, suit, purple shirt. And we're working towards this event. Let me share screens here again. That's going to happen at this point. I don't know how many people are going to come, but this is our plan. So we've got, it's going to be called the Peacemakers Prayer Vigil. The sheriff is going to be involved as well. And the plan for this one is not a march or a rally, but really a time of prayer. And we're planning on doing it at the Washtenaw Administrative Complex, the service center there right next to St. Luke's, that big parking lot. From 2 to 3:30 on June 28th, a couple weekends out. So you'll get an email in 5 minutes or so with this flyer in case it's helpful for you or you want to invite other people to it. But I just wanted to pass that along to you. I feel like my own heart this is especially a time of listening, not a passive listening, but really a listening to change and understand. And I think time of prayer is, I personally don't believe that there are such things as perfect human institutions and systems. I believe that it's Jesus that changes hearts, and that's what we need, especially in this time. And so I really want to cry out as a community and ask him to do what he intends to do, make change. And I think the change has got to start with us in some way, shape, or form. We all know our own hearts to a degree, but God knows them better. And I want to ask him what he has in mind for us as a community. So don't feel any pressure to come to that, but if you want to, you're welcome to, and certainly welcome to invite anybody that you'd like. I particularly love it if you know other church staff or leaders and could make them aware of it if they don't know about it already. Okay, we got a couple minutes left. Any other final questions you guys have?
One question, I guess. I've been struggling myself trying to know how I should reach out to friends who are most directly affected by racial inequality and whatnot. I don't know how to talk to them without starting off crudely, like, "Hey, I noticed you're Black," right? Like, how do you start that conversation? Yeah. I'm not a good conversationalist. You know, it's hard to understand people, but if anybody's got ideas, I'd love to hear it.
Well, I think a direct approach has been good for me. I wouldn't start with that language. I've just been asking people how have you been processing the last couple of weeks in terms of racial injustice. So that conversation, I haven't had a negative response to that conversation yet. Most people seem to be really appreciative to be able to talk about their experience. Any other thoughts on that?
I've just said, you know, "Hey, I've been thinking about you these past few weeks with all that's been going on in our country, and I've just been wondering how you've been doing with it all. Would love to connect." So that has gone decently well. In one of my home groups, we were talking about this about 2 weeks ago, I think. And there's an African American gentleman in the group who, you know, everyone was kind of sharing, and then he hadn't shared yet. And so I just said, you know, "Hey, as a Black man in our country, how has this been for you? Love to support you and hear from you." And he seemed to appreciate that, and it kind of gave him an opportunity to just share his heart. He didn't share much, but he's not a man of many words to begin with. So there's different avenues, but kind of depends on the situation probably. Those are a couple examples that seem to go okay.
My leaning at this point is, if God's putting somebody in your heart, I take the risk to engage him, reach out to him. You may not do it perfectly, but if your heart is sincere, they're going to pick up on that, especially if they know you. And I think really not just from a racial perspective or a skin color perspective, but any perspective, loneliness, mental health, financial stress, like anything that's coming to mind, if this is a time to be reaching out to one another and checking in on how everybody's doing, I think it really matters in this season in particular. It always matters, but I think right now it's especially poignant. Good question, Russell. Thanks, man. I appreciate all of you. I think that in this unprecedented season, relationships are so important to how we experience life. It's how God made us. And there is something disrupted in our abilities to relate with one another in ways that we have not experienced before this. And at the same time, God has not stopped moving. And I think the opportunities that we have to lead, to reach out, to provide spaces, to engage conversations, that really does matter. And then the work you're doing matters. And I know for all of you, it's all a juggle. You've got work, you've got family in some cases, friends, priorities, stresses, your own personal heart, and then reaching out to others. That's all going on in the same spaces, but I really do think it matters, and I appreciate it. So thank you for your hard work. Our city staff team wants to be available to support you as best we can, so don't hesitate to reach out to us. and God bless.